All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So, first of all, we have a sponsor this morning. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Sheldon and Fran Rosen in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Fran's father, Theodore Rosenzweig, Tadrus ben Shlomo Zalman, Zichrono Livrach. We hope that in the merits of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. Well, so with that, let's begin. Today's daf is Tzadik Ches 98, a beautiful, beautiful daf out of us today. We are picking up on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis 97b, three lines up from the bottom, actually four lines up from the bottom, right by the two dots. Beitza b'shishim vein beitza min aminyan. So we're saying part of the Braisa that we quoted yesterday. So we said that if you have a Beitza, now we're assuming over here that the Beitza, the egg we're talking about, is a Beitzas of Tameh. It is the egg from a non-kosher bird. So you have to have the egg of a non-kosher bird, which gets mixed in with a group of other eggs. So it is batal b'shishim. It's batal b'shishim, but in beitza min aminyan, which means that the non-kosher egg is not part of the 60. In other words, you need 60 plus 1. Says the Gemara, Amar li Rabbi Dibar Avin la Abaye. So Rabbi Dibar Avin said as follows. Abaye said as follows. Raised in more yesodistic question. The memra diovataima, is that to say that an egg, when put in a mixture, conveys taste, right? That an egg is no sin tam. Va'amri inshi, but people say, ki maya debei ba'alma. I will say, when people want to say, well, there's an expression, when you want to explain that something is tasteless. So what do you say? It's like literally the water of the egg by itself. Or as well, that's an expression of tastelessness. I.e., that an egg does not convey taste. An egg is not no same time. So if an egg is not no same time, then why would I require bittul b'shishim? So if there's no time, then bepashtos, how does the egg become bottle? It should just become bottle barov. Because remember, again, rove, we'll say the idea that something is bottle is nullified in a simple majority is the biblical default. Right? That's the basic daraisa. Acharei rabim lahatos. That's it. So shishim is an additional, well, actually we're going to discuss the source for shishim today, but shishim is an extra rabbinic level. So if the egg itself is not even nosing tam, it should just be bottle barov. Amar lehacham askinan, what's the case? There is a case of where an egg conveys flavor, and what is the type of tzad ches? The beitzas efroach. We'll say that's talking about an egg that has a chick inside of it. Rashi says, Shabbosr no sin tam, veloshna tmeh, veloshna tahora dinaveli. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Tzalocha lamaisa, the case of the egg that is no sin tam, is the case of the egg which has a chick inside of it. If that's the case, then there's basr, and the basr ultimately is no sin tam. Aval tmeh lo, but enach inami istam beitzas tmeh, that does not have the chick inside of it, will not convey tam. Says the Gemara, Isvei, that's Vezekasha, Beitzim Toro, Sheshalkon, and Beitzim Tmeos. If you have kosher eggs, which were cooked with non-kosher eggs, in the Yishboim Beno Sein Tam, Kulan Asuros, if the non-kosher eggs have the ability to be no Sein Tam, to convey flavor, then it prohibits the entire mixture. So we'll say, so again, what does this sound like over here? Rice is just about eggs. So it sounds like over here, even regular eggs do convey Tam. Again, Hacha Nami Bebeitza Sefroach. So we'll say, so the case the Gemara says over here about the non-kosher eggs which convey tam are again talking about an egg which contains a chick. Contains a chick, and therefore again it is the basar ultimately that conveys tam. V'amai karilei tameah. So we'll say, if that's the case, why does it call it a beitzas tameah? Because really it's not a din so much in kosher, not kosher. It's a question actually in terms of fleshiks versus paris, right? So this would be true even if it's all kosher eggs. To which the Gemara says, so why does it call it karli tmeo? Kevan the isbeefroach karli tmeo. Because we will say again, once the non-kosher egg has a chick inside of it, then einach inami, it has the ability to go ahead and convey tam like a nevela. Vaha midiktani seifa. But I will say, if you look at the end of that braisa, so what does it say? Beitzim sheshalkon v'nimtza efroach ba'achas men. So I will say, the seifa of that braisa talks about this case explicitly. The seifa of the braisa says that if you cooked eggs together and you found the chick in one of the eggs, im yesh bahen b'no same time, if ultimately, again, there's enough to convey flavor, then kulan asuros. Then all of the eggs are asur. Now, I will say, now the fact that the seifa of the braisa explicitly talks about a case where there's a chick inside of the egg, michlal d'resha, d'les be'efroach askinon, Most of you could infer from there that's what? That the ratio, the first part of the braisa, is talking about a situation where there was no chick inside of the egg, to which the Gemara says no. Perushe kamefarish. Indeed, Abbas, the two parts of the braisa are actually, again, one, I should say, the seifa, is coming to explain the ratio. How so? Here we go. Beitzim darosh shakran and beitzim tameos. If you have kosher eggs, which were cooked with non-kosher eggs, im yesh bohen beno same tam, kulan asuros, if the non-kosher eggs convey tam, convey flavor to the kosher eggs, then einachinami, everything will be asur. What's the example of Osayev Nesinas tam? What's the case ultimately again where the non-kosher eggs convey tam to the kosher eggs? Ketzad, kigon sheshalkan, the case of Nesinas Tam would be a case ultimately where they were cooked together and a chick was found inside one of them. Or I should say in this case it's inside the non-kosher one. Hachanai Mistabar, suppose this explanation seems to be clear. Others are about to say that Halacha L'maisa, if the eggs themselves do not contain a chick, then there's no Nesinas Tam. But if the egg contains a chick, then ultimately again there'll be Nesinas Tam, again of what we'll call Nevela, of the non-kosher bird. These sagalait chareisha de lesbe afroa, because it will say if you're going to think that, so the way the Gemara now is understanding the two parts of the braisa, is that in fact the second part of the braisa ultimately modifies the first. So the first part of the braisa says that if you have a mixture of kosher and non-kosher eggs together, and the non-kosher eggs are no same tam in the kosher eggs, then halacha l'maisa the mixture is aser. Then the braisa says, what's the case of nesinas tam? What's the case of flavor infusion? It's if the egg, the non-kosher egg, has an efroach, has a chick inside of it. So the Gemara says, Hakanai Mistabra, this explanation seems to be the most plausible. These stagadait chareisha de lesbe efroach, because if you're going to think that the reisha, the first part of the braisa, is talking about a scenario where there is no chick inside of the egg, hashta de lesbe efroach asura, the isbe efroach mibai, if ultimately, again, the non-kosher egg could go ahead and compromise the kosher egg where there is no chick, the ispe afroach mi boy, do I need the braisa to teach me that where there is a chick, certainly the non-kosher egg is no same time in the kosher egg? To which the Gemara says, no, that happens not to be a good raya, because imishum ha lo iria. We'll say, if that's your raya, that actually doesn't work, and I'll tell you why. Tana seifa legiluye resha. Because one could say that the Seifa was written in order to go ahead and shed light on the Resha. Shelo tomar Resha, the isbe efroach, avales be efroach sharia. There was, you shouldn't say that the Resha is talking about a case where ultimately the egg has a chick, but if halacha l'maisa there was no efroach, ultimately again the mixture would be permitted. Therefore, Tana Seifa, the isbe efroach, mechlad the Resha, the lesbe efroach. So whatever the Gemara says, the inference would not work. Bottom line, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin in this situation regarding eggs? An interesting shaila. So first of all, the Gemara says as follows. This is in Yaradeya, Simon Peivav Sithei. Beitzas of tamesh and esbash l'macheros. If you have the eggs of a non-kosher bird, which were cooked with other eggs. So the first halacha is, im hi biklipasa ina oseres. If the eggs are in their shells, then ultimately, again, it does not aser anything. So apparently, Yishcholach Paskins, the presence of a shell prevents any kind of real taste transfer. V'im hi klufa, but if the egg has the shell removed, then ultimately, again, oseres. Then about say the non-kosher egg has the ability to be no same time as the kosher egg. V'tzarech, okay, we're going to get into the scenarios here. And therefore, again, you would require shishim. You would require a ratio of 60-1. Now, also, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch then goes on, and the next sifin writes as follows: Beitzas treifa unavela. If you have the egg, right, of a non-kosher bird, dina kedin beitzas of tamei. He says, v'dechol she'ina klufa v'nispashle macheres ina oseres demaya bei ba'amus. So, bottom line is halacha l'maisa. Interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch does not make this distinction between an efroach and not an efroach. But rather, what we make the distinction is with an egg with a shell, an egg without a shell. If the egg has a shell, then ultimately, again, there is no conveyance of flavor. If the egg does not have a shell, then ultimately, again, you have to rely on bittel b'shishim. good. Suppose so says the Gemara Baitar. Who kizayis the tarba? Another very interesting case. There was a kizayis the tarba means a kizayis of fat. There was a kizayis of fat. The nafal b'dikula de bisra that fell into a pot of meat. Suppose so again. You have a kizayis of chaylev that fell into a pot of meat. So what's talach? Asavravasi the shiurei. This goes back to a discussion we had yesterday. So Rav Asi wanted to go at, obviously, so what do you need in this case? So I have a kezayis of chaylev that fell into a pot of meat. What do I need? I need bittul b'shishim, right? I need 60 times meat corresponding to the piece of chaylev. By the way, I'll just tell you something interesting. Just going back to the egg case. Actually, no, we'll leave him. There's a lot more to say with the eggs. Let me just say one more piece of the egg that I left out. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. I left out a very important piece of information. So remember again, by the egg. So the first distinction the Shulchan Aruch made was by an egg with a shell, an egg without a shell. Egg with a shell will not convey any type of nesinas tam iser. Egg without a shell will convey nesinas tam iser. The Shulchan Aruch does discuss the Efroach case. And when I left out this last line, he says, Ubeitza sheish pa Efroach, O dam, O seres hamisbashal ima, afilum eina klufa. If there is a chick inside of the egg, then ultimately, again, in that case, there will be nesinas tam, even if the shell is intact. So again, essentially three different parts of this halacha. If the egg has a shell, doesn't convey nesinas tam. Doesn't have a shell, does convey nesinas tam. If there is a beitza, if there is an egg in there, I'm sorry, if there is a chick in there, an efroach in there, then even if the shell is intact, ultimately, again, it goes ahead and conveys tam. Now, I'll say just one other interesting piece with this, that the bittel for eggs is 61 to 1. Which is interesting. It's not regular. We call it bittul b'shishim, but it's actually samech aleph. It's actually 61 permitted eggs to every one prohibited egg. The logic, what I will say, is actually quite interesting. So the Nosekelim, right? It's because eggs come in all different sizes. So because they come in all different sizes, in order to know that you have a true ratio of 60 to 1, the halacha says add in one more egg. That way, if some are bigger, some are smaller, the presence of the extra egg kind of rounds out the number. Okay, that's everything you need to know about eggs. Viker says the Gemara, now I have, what happens? I have this kezayis of fat, which falls into the pot of meat. So Savar Rav Asi, the Shi'uri B'mai Debali Dikula. So what happened? So Rav Asi, I will say, when calculating out Shishim, so wanted to calculate out Shishim based on what's in the pot and based on what got absorbed into the pot. Remember, we already referenced this Sugya yesterday. So Rav Asi understood, I will say, that in fact, I have shishim, but that shishim might also include that which was present when I started the cooking process that has been subsequently absorbed into the pot itself. So the Rabbi said to Ravashi, one second, atu dehetera bala, di isura lo bala. If that's the case that you're going to start measuring that which has been absorbed into the pot, that the pot just absorbed heter and not absorb iser. So if you're going to measure what the pot absorbed, you should measure everything the pot absorbed. So we'll say, so that's why we go back to what we saw yesterday in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch passes that halacha lemaisa, when measuring shishim, you only measure based on what? Based on what you see in front of you right now. So halacha lemaisa, when measuring shishim, we do not take into account what has been absorbed. We only take into account what exists in front of us now. What's another case? A half a kezayis of fat fell into a pot of meat. Half a kezayis of fat falls into a pot of meat. So listen to this. So a half a kezayis, all I need is what? 30 half kezayisim of heter to go ahead and be mevatla. See, I will say, what's happening over here is as follows. My bravashi figured that the shear of shishim is really a shear in what? In a kezayis. Therefore, if I have half a kezayis, all I need is what? Half of shishim. So it says the Gemara, Amar li Avua, Lav amina lacha. So his father said to him, have I not told you many times, lo tizalzel b'shi'urei dirabanan. Do not be mezalzel. Right? Do not go ahead and treat lightly shi'urim of dirabanan. In other words, shishim is a din rabosai no matter how much the iser is. So you have a kizayis of iser or a half a kizayis of iser. The way it works is that you need shishim of heter to be mavatal the iser. Va'od, ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, again, Rabbi Yochanan also said, chatzi shir asr min ha'torah. So he'll say, so this, by the way, happens to be a much larger discussion, but there is an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan who says that chatzi shir. It will say, even though the Torah gives shiurim for certain things, that shir may be what you need to consume in order to violate and receive a punishment. But Lamaisa Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that chatzi shir, even a half a shir, is also asr midaraisa. And therefore, all the more so, even though you only have a half a kizayis of forbidden fat, you should still require a complete shishim to be mevatel. Look at Rashi, we'll see in just a moment. Lo tizal ze b'shirei d'rabban. And kilomar afilo b'midi d'lo misr midaraisa, lo tizal ze b'shirei. So we'll say, so essentially, the father was making 2 points to the son. Number one, even in a shear that is not asr midaraisa, like a half a kizayis, ultimately, again, you still need shishin to be mevatlet. Second point, furthermore, there is the opinion of Yochanan who holds that chatzi shear is asr midaraisa. In which case, again, you would still require shishim, well, you wouldn't require shishim midaraisa, but since the isr is daraisa, the shear of shishim would still be intact. So the Gemara goes like, Amar Rav Idi Bar Idi Bar Gershom, Amar Levi Bar Parta, Amar Rav Nachum, Amar Rav Birai Mishum Zokin Echad. So I'll say, all these rabbis said in the name of one elder gentleman whose name was Rabbi Yaakov Shmei Debei Nesia. Rabbi Yaakov Shmei Debei Nesia Amru, right? In the house of the Nasi, they used to say as follows. Beitza Besamech, so I'll say, going back to the eggs for just a moment. Beitza Besamech Asura. We'll say, if you have a shear, we're going to see what this means in just a moment. If you have the egg and there are 60, it's going to be asr. B'samech v'achos muteres. If there's 61, ultimately, again, it is mutter. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Zira Rav Shmam Bar Abba. Re'ei she'ata matil b'gvul heter. So Rabbi Zira said to Rav Shmam Bar Abba, see that you are creating a permitted boundary for the prohibited egg, for the egg mixture. Why? Because you had two great people who never fully explained this matter. Who were the two great people? Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Rav Shua Bar Nachmani. Tarvaihu Mishmeid Rav Yoshua Ben Levi Amri. Both of them said the name of Yoshua Ben Levi. We'll say first white line, Tzad Chesem Adalef. Beitza Besamech Asura. If you have an egg in a mixture of 68, it will be aser. Besamach va'achos muteres. And ultimately, again, if it's 61, it will be mutter. V'ibaylehu. And once we had the following shayla. Besamach va'achos bahadi didei. Does that mean 61 including the prohibited egg? Ol dilma lebarmine. Or maybe it means separate from the prohibited egg. In other words, when we say 61, does 60 mean you have 60 permitted eggs and one prohibited one? Or does 61 mean you have 61 permitted eggs and one aser egg? V'lo pashit, and they never answered it. Umar pashit le mifshat. I know I gave this away a little bit. Umar pashit le mifshat, and now you have answered it. Umar pashit le mifshat, and now you've answered it. How did you answer it? Itmar amar Rabbi Chaba amar Rav Huna beitza besamech v'hi asura. B'samech fa'achos v'himuteres. We'll say ultimately again when it comes to the halachos of eggs, as we just said before we saw on the Shulchan Aruch, the way it works is as follows. Although normally in mixtures, shisha means 60 parts permitted to one part prohibited, and that's the shear for bittel, eggs are different. And when it comes to eggs, if you have a mixture of eggs, then halacha l'maisa again, if you have 61 permitted eggs to one prohibited egg, the prohibited egg will be bittel. Ultimately, again, 60 eggs is not enough. And again, the logic, as we saw before, is because since eggs come in various shapes and sizes, so there's a concern that if you just have 60 permitted eggs, you might not have the full shear for bittel. Therefore, add on the extra egg in order to go ahead and round out the shear of shishim. Good. So we'll say back to so we'll say, so again, so when it comes, this doesn't conclude the sugi of eggs, but just so that we review what we know about eggs so far. Number one, if the shell is intact, no nesinas tam. Shells not intact is no same tam. However, again, if there's an efroach, if there is a chick, then what? Even if the shell is intact, ultimately it is no same tam. Shear for bittel for eggs will be a little bit different than other shear for bittel, because for eggs you will need 61 permitted eggs, ultimately, again, for every one prohibited egg. Therefore, again, the total mixture necessary for bittel will be a total, or a minimum, I should say, of 62 eggs. 61 permitted, 1 prohibited. Hahud asla kamid Rabbi Gamliel Barabi. Suppose there was a man who came before Rabbi Gamliel Barabi. Amar li Abba lo shir ba'arba'im v'sheva. Va'ani esha'ar ba'arba'im v'chamesh. Suppose say, so there's a little piece missing from this story. If you look at Rashi where it says, Divrei ha'maschil Abba, it's right across from the Kutei Rashi. So say, if you go a few lines down into that Rashi, about 5 lines in, Rashi says, Veli nira dahachi kamar. So Rashi says, here's what happened in this story. Abba lo shir ba'arbon v'sheva va'ani eshar b'mem hei b'tmiya. Abba ba'lafon av ma'isa v'ayochal l'bat l'mem zayin v'lo shi'ar l'hatir v'asar va'ani atir b'mem hei. So let's say, so apparently what happened was as follows. There was a man who came before Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rebbe. He had a mixture, and in the mixture, ultimately, again, there were 45 permitted parts to 1 prohibited part. And the man asked Rabbi Gamliel, is that enough for bittel? To which Rabbi Gamliel responded, my father had an episode where someone came to him with a mixture of 47 permitted parts to 1 prohibited part, and my father was not mevatalit based on the 47. If he wasn't mevatalit based on the 47, then what? I certainly can't be mevatalit based on 45. Ha'hud asla kamid Rabbi Shimon Barabi. Amrlei, so there was a man who came before Rabbi Shimon Barabi. He said to him, Amrlei, Abba lo shir b'mem hei, v'ani esher b'mem gimel. So we'll say, these are all the same type of stories, where people were coming, and ultimately, again, they had mixtures, and there was a large amount of prohibited substance above the prohibited one, but yet not shishim. So the people were asking, halach l'maisa, is there enough? And each, so again, my father wasn't mevatel b'mem hei, I'm going to be mevatel b'mem gimel. Who does the kamid r'pchiyo? Amarle klum yesh shloshim. Taima, so we'll say, so another case, somebody came before Rabbi Chiya, right? And again, with less than 30 parts permitted to the 1 part prohibited, so we'll say, so what happened? So again, so Rabbi Chiya said, is there even shloshim in this mixture? To which the Gemara says, Taima delekha shloshim. So what does that mean? Because there's not 30, that's why it can't be mevatlet. But if there were to be 30, ultimately, again, would you consider doing bittel under those circumstances? Rabbi Chanina Guzma. Rabbi Chanina says, no. He was speaking in exaggerated terms. Obviously, I will say, bittel doesn't happen with less than shloshim, with less than shishim. But what he was saying was, there's not even shloshim. It's not even 30 times. So all this Gemara is just trying to show these different episodes where ultimately, again, these questions of bittel were coming up, and there wasn't enough of a shear for bittel. So listen to this. Here we go. Now we're going to drill down to some of the yisodistic fundamental aspects of this halacha. All isurin in the Torah, Bosei, when put in a mixture, are gauged in a mixture of shishim. In other words, if you have a mixture between something permitted and prohibited, in order to go ahead and permit the mixture, salach lamais, you have to have shishim. So Moshe says, the Gemara, Amr lefanav, Rabbi Shmua bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi ata omer kein. So, halcha amr abasi, amr Rabbi Yishom, and Yishom bar Kafra, kol yisurin shevetorah, b'meya. So Moshe, we begin to see a fundamental machlokas. So there are opinions that hold that halacha lemaisa, any mixture is batel b'shishim, but yet other opinions who hold that what? You actually need 100. Meya, 100-1 ratio. And amazingly enough, ushnehem lo lamdua ela mizroa b'sheila. And I will say, amazingly enough, both of them learn it out from the same exact proof. Look at Rashi. It's the bottom Rashi, zroa. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting case. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shekol Nehyeh
B'dvaro.
So let's take a look at this case. It's Roa, last line of Rashi. Shel El Nazir. So let's remember again, a person is a Nazir. He finishes his Neder Nazirus, and he goes ahead and he brings a carbon. He brings a carbon Shlomim. So we'll say, so what happens over here is something very important. Rashi says, Hu amura mimenu, umanifin oso v'nitin l'koin, v'asra l'zarim. Va'ayel kulo ne'echal l'balev, dar shlomim. So we'll say, here's what you have. The Nazir brings a ram as a shlomim. Now, what ends up happening with this ram is the foreleg of that ram, the zroa, is given to the Kohen. So a non-Kohen, meaning the Nazir himself, is not permitted to eat that zroa. Instead, it is given ultimately again to the Kohen as his portion. So watch this. The pasuk says, "Dichsev v'lakach ha'Kohen es ha'zroa b'sheila." So we'll say the Kohen will take the zroa b'sheila. Now, what does that mean? The Tanya b'sheila. We'll say, what does the word b'sheila mean? Amadeis ein b'sheila ela shlema. So we'll say, so the first opinion says, what b'sheila means is complete. Is complete. Now we'll see what that means in just a moment. What does it mean, complete? Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, ein b'sheila ela shenis bashla im ha'ayo. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, on the other hand, says, no. B'sheila means what? Cooked. Cooked. It means that ultimately, again, the foreleg is cooked together with the rest of the ram, and only subsequently gone ahead and given to the Kohen. So we'll say, so watch this. So, again, this is incredibly important, because what turns out over here is that halacha l'maaseh, there's a fundamental machlokes as to how to translate the word b'sheila. Two different possibilities. Possibility number one is that b'sheila means shlema, b'sheila means complete. Possibility number two is that b'sheila means cooked. B'sheila means cooked. So says the Gemara, here we go. The Kuli Amar, we'll say Tzadik Ches on base 98b, three lines down from the top. The Kuli Amar, Bahadi Alma Vashlin. We'll say, now here's what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that Halacha Lemaisa, the foreleg of the aisle, is cooked together with the rest of that. Now, we'll say, even before we go on, why is that dramatically amazing? Why is it dramatically amazing? Correct. Because the aisle, right? Because the foreleg is the portion of the Kohen. It is usher to a Yisrael. Right? So the fact that you are cooking something that is the portion of the Kohen, together with the rest of the animal which belongs to the Yisrael, is an incredibly amazing thing. Now, we'll say, so obviously what you're going to begin to see is, and here's what's incredible about this, everyone's going to learn out the laws of Bittul from this particular pasuk. The application and what type of bittul is going to be subject to dispute. But the notion that ultimately you can go ahead and cook Kohanic meat together with non-Kohanic meat, for the Kohen it's not going to be a problem. But the fact that the Yisrael could eat his meat after being cooked together with Kohanic meat, that's a pretty dramatic idea. So watch this. So it says the Gemara, D'chuli Alma B'hadi Alma Vashlo. If there's one thing that everyone is agreeing with, it's what? That the portion of the Kohen is being cooked together with the rest of the shlamim, right? So remember again, the portion of the Kohen is being cooked together with the rest of the meat to be consumed by the Yisrael. So it's actually very interesting. Mar Savar Mechatech La V'Hadim Mevashala. So we'll say, so they have apparently like a procedural machlokes. So one opinion holds that first they cut off the foreleg and then they cook everything together. Umar Savar The other opinion says, no, first they cook it, you cook the animal whole, and then only afterwards do you cut off the limb. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, it's the third line down on the top of Rashi. Tanakam sar mechatechla, mina ayo. So Tanakala holds that first you cut off the limb, and then you cook it with the animal. Mina ayo. V'hadim mevashala b'hadei, or b'hadei, v'ashmo inan dishlema mevashal, ve'ena mechatcha lechatichos. Reb Shimon aslashmoinan de kamos shimichuberes la'ayal mevashal. So we'll say, so now watch this. So the first machlokis over here, so here's what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that you are cooking the zra, the foreleg which belongs to the Kohen. You are going to cook it with the rest of the ayal. So first fundamental machlokis is, do you remove the foreleg prior to the cooking or after the cooking? Okay, so we'll say, so what the ramifications of that are not immediately apparent, V'baisema, the other possibility is, d'chuli alma mechatech lo, v'hadr mevashalom. The other possibilities are, no, that's not the root of the machlokes. Everyone agrees that what happens, first you'll go ahead and cut off the foreleg, and then you'll cook everything together. So what's the machlokes? Mihu, mar savar bahadi al mevashalom. But the machlokes is, that's what? One opinion holds that you cook the foreleg together with the rest of the ayo. Umar savar b'kedeira acheres mevashalom. And the other opinion holds that what? That you do not cook it together with the foreleg. So we'll say, ultimately, again, I have a much more yisodistic machlokes, but ultimately, again, is the foreleg cooked with the rest of the aisle or not? So it says the Gemara, l'lishne kama aliba de devrei hakol. So we'll say, according to the first approach, where everyone is agreeing that what? That the foreleg is cooked with the rest of the aisle, the fundamental machlokes is what? Is the foreleg cut off from the aisle before the cooking or after the cooking? So everyone will learn out the halachos of bittul, ultimately, again, from the zroa b'shela. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Lishna kama. V'hashta kama simon mil say, da'amin alel. Rushen amdun alishna kama. Dok mirab devein tana kama bein rabshimin b'hadi ayam v'ashela. Yalfi hanach amurai dile'el mizroa b'shela. Supposed to listen to this. According to the first approach, everyone will agree that the halachos of bittul are learned out from this situation of the Isle of Nazir. Why, Rabosai? Because here you have an explicit case of where you're cooking something quote-unquote prohibited. They will say prohibited, of course, is relative. It's the portion of the Kohen with non-Kohanic meat. And yet what? The Yisrael is still able to eat, or the Nazir is still able to eat his meat, despite the fact that it was cooked together with the zroa of the Kohen. So we'll say, so then the fundamental machlokis there is more like a procedural one. Do you detach the foreleg before the cooking or after the cooking? But lamais, again, the foreleg is being cooked together with the rest of the carb, or with the rest of the shlamim, or the rest of the Yisrael's portion, and nevertheless the Yisrael is permitted to eat his portion. Rav Osai, that teaches me the halachos of bittul. So according to the first approach, where everyone agrees that the zroa is being cooked together with the rest of the animal, I understand how this serves as the proof for the concept of bittul. However, Lovishna Basra, according to the second approach says what? That the machlokis of Osei is whether or not everyone will agree that the foreleg is detached before the act of cooking. What's the fundamental machlokis? The fundamental machlokis was, were they cooked together in the same pot or not? Lovishna Basra, Aliba Darbishem Ben Yochai. Ultimately, again, and I will say the second approach only works according to Rashbi. Only according to Rashi Mecha. Look at Rashi. Lishna Basra. Dok mina tana kama de begdera acharis mevashala. Yalfil mil semid Rav Shimon. De chazinan de bashal heter bahadi isser. U bezra yesh etzem harbe u basra muat. So fine. So we'll say, so now watch this. Man domer b'shishim. So here we go. The one who says that the halachos of bittul are ratio of 60 to 1. Savar basar va'atzamos bahadi basar va'atzamos mishaminis. So we'll say, here's what's interesting about this. Apparently, the foreleg has more bone and less meat. More bone, less meat. Sefer Rabbo say, the one who says that halacha l'maisa, we learn out the halachos of shtet, that by bittul, the halacha is a din of shishim, says that when measuring permitted substance against prohibited substance, what do we include? We include flesh and bone. Flesh and bone. So we'll say, when you look at that, then what? When you look at the rest of the aisle compared to the zroa, if you compare the flesh and bone of the rest of the animal to the flesh and bone of the zroa of the foreleg, there's 60 times permitted more kosher permitted substance than permitted substance than prohibited substance. The Gemara says, "B'shishim sever baser v'atzamos padi baser v'atzamos usharinan." Fabulei b'shishim, mandar remeya. Both said the one who says that ultimately, again, we learn out from this halacha what? That in order for bittul to work, there has to be 100 times permitted substance more than prohibited substance. Then what? Savar baser bahadi baser misharina v'habilei meya. Both said that's very interesting. He will say that we do not include bones. Rather, what are we comparing over here? Meat. And there is 100 times more permitted meat in the rest of the animal than there is on the zroa, on the foreleg, which in general has more bone than meat to begin with. So we'll say, so again, I'll just point out over here, is this is really an incredibly dramatic Gemara, because the Gemara just told us, we'll say, that this is the source of Bittul. Now, again, I do want to point out that in certain respects, what we're learning out over here is the ratio for Bittul, not the mechanics of Bittul. Because I will say, you know, Bittul 101, as we'll see, one thing that is absolutely clear, which is what I will say, you cannot lechatchila rely on Bittul. It's very, very important to sow, right? If I have a chicken soup recipe that happens to call for one drop of milk, that's all it requires for, right? One drop of milk. So I can't say, okay, one drop of milk, Baruch Hashem, be Bittul in the chicken soup. That, of course, is not going to work. We don't do Bittul lechatchila. And we'll say, even though this is a case, quote unquote, of lechatchila and actively, this is also a different kind of case. The Gemara is trying to learn out over here are the mechanics of Bittul, or more importantly, the ratio of Bittul. So the fact that the Torah allows me to cook what we'll call a non-consecrated piece of carbon with a consecrated piece of carbon, and still allows the non-Kohen to eat his portion after being cooked with the portion of the Kohen, tells me that there is a concept of Bittul. So it's incredible. The entire concept of Bittul is learned out from Zeruah B'Sheila. They would say, this is the source. Learned out from Zeruah B'Sheila. Learned out from the fact that the foreleg of the coin is cooked with the rest of the carbon that is consumed by the Yisrael. The only machlokis we'll say is what? What type of Bittul do I learn out from here? Do I learn out a Bittul of 60 to 1 or of 100 to 1? And we'll say, what does it all come down to? What that comes down to is, what are you including in Bittul? If you're including bone and flesh, I learn out 60 to 1. If you're just including flesh against flesh, then what? I learn out 100 to 1. Incredible. Umiya finan mine. So we'll say ultimately again, but can we really learn out the halachos of Bittul from this particular source? After all, again, Vatanya, we learned, Zehu Heter Haba Michlal Isser. The Gemara will say, when referring to this case of Zeruah B'Sheila, says that what? This is a case of Heter Haba Michlal Isser. We'll say, this is a case of ultimately, again, something that is mutter, even though it really should be aser, right? Why should it be aser, Bosai? Because the rest of the meat absorbed what? Flavor from the Zerua, which is the Kohanic portion. So the Gemara says, so when commenting on this case of Zeruah B'Sheila, the Gemara notes the novelty. This is a case of Heftar Abamechlal Iser. Zehu, the fact that the Braisa says, Zehu, this is a case, what does that come to teach me? The Mi'ute Mai. What does that come to exclude? Lav Lemi'ute Kol Isur and Shevet Torah. Rabosai, does that not come to exclude all other Yisrael? Maybe we're learning this wrong. Maybe, in fact, Rabosai, what the takeaway message over here is what? Is what? This is the exception. It's not meant to create a rule. Right? This is the exception that says, in this case, the Torah says that you could rely on a Bittul of 60 to 1, or 100 to 1, depending who you hold like. But Lamai said, this is the aberration. This is the novelty. This halacha, or this concept, does not apply to other areas of halacha. No, Rabbi says, the reality is that Zehu, that phrase of Zehu, that this is a novelty, is only really needed according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? The Amar, min bemino lo batal. And what's Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion? That min bemino, when you have two like items, so halacha lamai says min bemino is not batal. Kamash malon dahacha batal. Even the Rabbi Yehuda holds, Rabbi said that in general, min bemino is not batal. Two like items, there is no concept of bittul. Even he will agree that in this case, right, of the ayol of the nazir, ultimately again we will say min bemino batal. Kamash halacha de batal, I the ligma mine. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn out from this case of Zeruah B'Sheila that in fact min bemin is batal? Gali rachmana velakach midam hapar umidam hasoyer tarvayu bahadi hadadininu velo batli. So we'll say ultimately again, because we can learn out that what? We'll say we learn out that min bamino is not batal from another very interesting source, which we'll say is what? Is the avod of Yom Kippur. By the avod of Yom Kippur, so the Kohen shechts, remember, a par, and he shechts a sire. He shechts a cow and he shechts a goat. And we'll say what happens? The blood of both of them are mixed together. Yet despite the fact that they are mixed together, what happens? They still retain their individual identities. They are still known as Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer. Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer. So we'll say ultimately again, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, even though they are min bamino, they are still not what? They're not bottle. So we'll say, so therefore again, what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. That lashon of zehu, that this is a unique case, is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda normally holds min bamino in a bottle, but yet what you see over here in the case of zroa b'sheila, where min bamino is bottle. Aye, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that here, this is the proof text, that min bamino is bottle, to which the Gemara answers, because of Osai, I have another pasuk. The lachu midama par midama sar, that tells you that what? The two bloods, the two types of blood, even when they are mixed together, each retains their own individual identity, which tells me that what? Min bamino is not bottle. So tarvaya bahadi adadininhu velo bati. So we'll say that happens to Rabbi Huda's proof. Rabbi Huda's proof that min bamino ino bottle comes from the dama sar dama par, which even when they're mixed together, still retain their individual identities. Aye, by zra b'sheila, you clearly see min bamino and it is bottle. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. So the Gemara says, umay chazis de gamri meheich ligmar mehai. So say, I don't understand. Why do you, Rabbi Huda, why do you choose to learn out the concept of min bamino eino batal by the blood, right, by the dama asar dama par, and yet not from the zra b'sheila? Why didn't you use the zra b'sheila as the proof to say that what? Min bamino is batal? To which the Gemara says, chidushu umi chidush lagaminon. Because at the end of the day, Rabbi say, halacha lemaisa, the case of zra b'sheila is a chidush. The fact that ultimately, again, the rest of the meat is mevatel, the taste of the zra, which belongs to the kohen, that's a chiddush. And chiddush, we can't learn that from a chiddush. Well, if you can't learn anything out from a chiddush, ihachi, lemea v'samech nami lo ligmar. Well, say, if you're telling me that the case of zra b'sheila is a chiddush, then what? How can I learn out the halachos of bittel from a case that's a chiddush? Well, say, remember again, there's one thing that everybody is agreeing on, which is what? Which is what? That I'm learning out the laws of bittel from this case of the aisle of the Nazir, where the rest of the meat is cooked with the Zroa. The Zroa is quote-unquote the prohibited substance, and yet, again, it is bottled in the rest of the meat. So if it's a Chiddush, how can I learn out the halachos of bittel from this case? To which the Gemara says, An atu, an lekula gaminan, lechumra gaminan, demidaraisa beruva batra. We'll say, watch this. When we are learning out from this case of Zroa B'Shter, we're learning out the kula. Shishim is not a kula, Rav Osai. Shishim, or mea for that matter, is what? Is an incredible chumrah. Why is it an incredible chumrah, Rav Osai? Because this is very important. Mid oraisa, every single forbidden mixture is permitted how? With rov. Right? So Rav Osai, I only have one shear in the Torah. It's rov. If there is a majority of permitted substance or forbidden substance, I'm done. All I need is 51%. That's the doraisa. So I will say, when do we say that you can't learn out from a chiddush? That's to create a kula. But to create a chumrah, you absolutely can learn out even from a chiddush. Since halacha lemaisa, I'm learning out from zra b'sheila, an incredible chumrah, right? I've gone from the oraisa of rov to the dirabanon of shishim, or maybe even mea. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, I can learn that out from the case of zra b'sheila. So we'll stop over here. But what comes out is something really incredibly amazing. We've just seen the rabbinic proof for the concept of bittel b'shishim, leaving aside bittel b'me'ah, because we don't really paskin that way, except in more extreme cases. It's all learned out from the concept of zra b'sheila. The fact that I can go ahead and cook the foreleg that belongs to the kohen together with the rest of the meat, and I don't have to be concerned that the zra compromises the rest of the meat. Rabbi Osai is why? Because we are assuming that halacha lemaisa, there is 60 times prohibited basar corresponding to the one piece of the quote-unquote prohibited kohanic piece of meat, and from here, we're in the concept ultimately of bittel b'shishim. I'll pick up over here tomorrow.